Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come and bring a word from the Lord. Amen? So our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And all you have to do is call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory. Be overcome.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God again. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, taking prayer requests at this time. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. So you can call in your prayer requests from 6 to 7 p.m. Amen. Every Tuesday through Friday. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen.
Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this sanctuary, we bring your presence with us. We speak your peace, your grace, your mercy, and your perfect order into this sanctuary. We acknowledge your power over all that will be spoken, thought, decided, and done within these walls. We thank you for the gifts you have blessed us with. We commit to using them responsibly in your honor. Give us a fresh supply of strength to do our work, to do your work. Amen. Anoint our projects, our ideas, and energy, so that even our smallest accomplishment may bring you glory. Lord, when we are confused, please guide us. When we are weary, please energize us. When we are burnt out, infuse us with the light of the Holy Spirit. And may the work that we do and the way that we do it brings faith, joy, and a smile to all that we come in contact with today. And, oh, Lord, when we leave this place, give us traveling mercy. Bless our families and home to be in order as we left it. Lord, we thank you for everything you have done. We thank you for everything you're doing. We thank you for everything you're going to do. Thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And this is, again, our sweet hour of prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. And you're listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda. At this time, I will play another selection. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah. That have said the Lord always before me. I've let your name, Lord, I worship you. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I live for you. Forever I am yours, Lord. Your name. Come on, let's take it higher.
I'll live for you.
I'll live for you.
I'll die in you.
For I have said the Lord always before me. Because you're on my right hand, I shall not be moved. I bless your name. The Lord with me, somebody. Forever we love you. Forever we live to worship you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. I live for you.
Praise be to God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. The title of this message is Unseen Wonder. And the scripture reading is coming from 1 Peter 1. And we're going to read verses 3 through 9. Amen. The hope of eternal life. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, where it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to reveal on the to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests the purifies gold and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his mighty word. Amen. The text for this message is coming from 1 Peter 1:8. And it says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Praise be to God. Again, the title is Unseen Wonders. The writer says, in the twilight of her years, Mrs. Goodrich's thoughts came in and out of focus, along with memories of a challenging and grace-filled life. Sitting by a window overlooking the waters of Michigan's Grand Traverse Bay, she reached for her notepad. In words she soon wouldn't recognize as her own, she wrote, here I am in my favorite chair, with my feet on the sill and my heart in the air. The non-stuck waves on the water below in constant motion, so to where I don't know. But thank you, dear Father above, for your innumerable gifts and your undying love. It always amazes me. How can it be that I'm so in love with one cannot see? The Apostle Peter acknowledges such wonder. He had seen Jesus with his own eyes. But those who would read his letters had not. Though you have not seen him, you believed in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. We love Jesus, not because we're commanded to, but because with the help of the Spirit, we begin to see how much he loves us. It's more than hearing that he cares for people like us. It's experiencing for ourselves the promise of Christ to make the wonder of his unseen presence and Spirit real to us at every stage of life. Praise be to God. Question. Read 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9 again. In what ways do these words show you how our God makes the inexpressible real to us? And how open are you to the Spirit of Jesus who lives in and among us? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, please help us to see the miracle of your love and the presence in your Son and to believe in your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, and this is our sweet hour of prayer where we pray for every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. At 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. I hope you enjoy this next selection.
Suffering death for me way back on Calvary.
The Most High God. We give you praise. We praise you in your sanctuary. We praise you in your mighty expense. We praise you for your awesome deeds according to your excellent greatness. We praise you with music, song, and words of admiration. Our soul makes it boast in you, El Elyon. We bless your name today, and we will forget none of your benefits. You hold the power in your hand to keep the flames of life's trials from scorching us. You have the power to save. We will not fear what man can do because you are El Elyon, the Most High God. Hallelujah. Praise be to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. Okay.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things. 'Cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible.
Amen. Praise be to God.
Until the next level, our God is always in control. No matter what you're going through, He's taking you.
Amen. Praise be to God. El Elyon, the Most High God. El Elyon, we see the smoke and begin to tremble when life's troubles surround us. Whether in our work, our health, our finances, our family, or even in ourselves, through anxiety, worries, or fears. Yet you are El Elyon, and you know when even a hair falls from our head. You protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were tossed to their certain death. But that sentence of death became the promise of life as you intervene. Forgive us, El Elyon, for looking only at what we can see, things that seem to so certain to harm us physically or emotionally, rather than looking at you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise.
That's right. Everybody got around.
El Elyon, receive our heart of gratitude for being the Most High God. Accept our spirit of gratefulness for holding our world together in the palm of your hand. You are patient, kind, and gentle, yet you are also powerful, mighty, and strong. Thank you for showing us time and again that you are over all and for delivering us from the snares of the enemy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord God. So again, I want to thank everyone for our sweet hour of prayer where we prayed from 6 to 7 p.m. We played our inspirational music. And now It is time for the word. So at this time, I will play another selection. And after this selection, then I will come with the word. Amen. Praise be to God.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise be to God. My scripture reading for this evening is coming from Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Amen. That's Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Praise be to God, where it says, Matthew 7, 1 through 5 says, this is Jesus speaking, and he's talking about judging others. Amen? And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you cannot see past the log in your own eye? Get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Praise be to God. So this statement that Jesus made, do not judge others, is against the kind of hypocritical judgmental attitude that tear others down. Sometimes you can't even read your own handwriting. Tear others down in order to build oneself up. It is not a blanket statement to overlook wrong behavior of others, but a call to be discerning rather than negative. Jesus said to expose false prophets, and Paul taught that we should exercise church discipline and trust God to be the final judge. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Christ's statement, judge not that ye be not judged, points its accusing finger directly at each of us and implies that we have been found guilty. This is one of the most disturbing passages in all Christ's teachings. Jesus centered his attention on the prevalent sin of censoriousness. The sin, and that word means severely critical of others. Amen? Censoriousness. The sin of nitpicking, fault finding, and cutting other people down to our size. In Greek mythology, there is a story about a robber chieftain named Procluster. Anyone who invaded his territory was taken to Procluster's cave, where he had an iron bedstead. Each captive was carefully measured on the bed. Too short, he was stretched. And if he was too long, his ankles and legs were cut off until he was short enough. You know, back in the in those days, that's what they used to do to prisoners. They either stretched them or they cut off their legs to even them to the size. The myth records that Theus invaded the territory of Proclustes and killed him, but he did not destroy his iron bed. In fact, his bed is still around. Proclustes' bed may be found in our homes, in our offices, anywhere in our lives. We look around for people to measure. Then we stretch those who are too short and cut off those who are too long. They must exactly fit our bed. Jesus, being aware of human nature, realized the propensity of individuals to measure everyone else by themselves. He had observed people trying to force others to fit exactly into their own concept. Thus, Jesus gives us clear and stern instructions. Judge not, that ye be not judged. This is not a subtle suggestion or a gentle nudge. Judge not is an amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Thank you for being merciful and generous. Thank you for this good day in which we have the privilege of rejoicing and worshiping with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. As we come bringing our tithes and offerings to indicate our love and our desire to share the good news of your love with those around the world. May these gifts be blessed. May we truly believe it is more blessed to give than to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Matthew 7 and 1, where it says, judge not, that ye be not judged. Amen. And the title of my message is The Sin of Censoriousness. Amen. Praise be to God. And as I said, that word means severely critical of others. Praise God. Tonight, my message is divided into four parts. First, we're going to talk about a prohibition. A prohibition, a present imperative with a negative, is used in verse 1, where Jesus said, don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. And that's coming from the Message Bible. Amen. Now, what Jesus was not prohibiting, Jesus was not prohibiting the due process of law. Often this statement of Christ has been misunderstood and misapplied. The Russian writer Tolstoy, T-O-L-S-T-O-Y, is best known for his book, War and Peace. He became a most conscientious Christian during the latter parts of his life. He took literally each word of the Sermon on the Mount. He believed that this message was intended as a divine blueprint for a new social order that Christ had come to establish. For example, when Jesus said, judge not, that ye be not judged, Tolstoy concluded that every courthouse should be destroyed and the judicial system should be set aside. Yet, our Lord never meant for his words to serve as a replacement for the law. The due process of law and the grace of God are not antithetical. They simply operate in the different realms. Now, the spirit of the entire teaching of Christ would never advocate anarchy. Jesus knows human nature well enough to know that government and a judicial system are necessary. Amen. Praise be to God. Jesus was not prohibiting the practice of moral judgment. Jesus himself passed moral judgment on others. For instance, he called the Pharisees a generation of vipers and within sepulchres. He announced that if they did not repent, they would surely perish. Because of our hesitancy to make moral decisions, we tend to drift into an indiscriminated moral neutrality. Consequently, we quote this passage, judge not that ye be not judged. And in so doing, advocate our responsibility to make moral judgment. Actually, the correct position is that we should judge morally and thus be prepared to be judged morally. What Jesus was prohibiting, he was attacking the sin of censoriousness. He was addressing the hypocritical fault-finding attitude that encourages us to stretch people out or choke them off so they will conform to our bed. Amen. Here, Jesus placed himself in diametrical opposition to those who would inflict slow death on others by relentless criticism. Employers sometimes do this to employees. Parents do it to their own children. Teachers, by this means, destroy pupils, and ministers wear down their church members. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Amen. Praise God. A promise. In verse 2, Jesus said, "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And that's from the NIV version. Amen. Now, this promise reflects the law of reciprocity, a law that states that we also get back what we give out. This may not be the highest motive for appearing to others that they should be Christ-like, but it is a motive based on fact. Dishonesty begets dishonesty. Stealing begets stealing. And censoriousness begets censoriousness. Yet, the bright side of this law is that the opposite is also true. Truth begets truth. Faithfulness begets faithfulness. And love begets love. The fact remains that our censoriousness not only causes others to be censorious toward us, but we are also hurt from two other sources, ourselves and God. With what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. This is simple. This is simply a restatement of such passage as, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap," Galatians 6:7. "And they that take the sword shall perish with the sword," Matthew 6:26-52. Modern psychology bears witness that the attitude of censoriousness, grudge, bearing, hatred, and related attitudes are destructive to a person's body and mind. Charles Allen pointed out that our censoriousness reveals five things about us. And these five things are our sins, our jealousies, our ignorance, our inability to deal with our own problems, and our lovelessness. So each time we judge another, we are saying to all who have ears to hear, in Romans 2:1-3, this is the kind of unloving person I am. Paul addressed himself to this same problem in Romans 2:1-3. He said, you, therefore, have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same thing. So how can you pass judgment on someone else if you're doing the same thing? Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Absolutely not. There are four reasons why we receive God's judgment when we are censorious toward others. Again, when we are critical of others. Censoriousness hinders God's work. Second, it assumes God's office as judge. Third, it destroys what God has given, character and influence. Fourth, it is contemporaneous toward the grace of God, which is extended to those who we would destroy by censoriousness. Amen? Now let's talk about perplexity. In Matthew 7:3-4, Jesus said that the sin of censoriousness creates a real perplexity. In his typical humor, Jesus painted a picture of a man with a log in his eye, trying to pick a splinter out of another man's eye. A perplexing situation indeed. Not one of us is without sin. Not one of us is free of glaring defects in our own life. Jesus was saying, look at the ridiculous role you are playing with a glaring flaw in your own life that everyone else can see. You nitpick at the small problem in the lives of others. Stop it. If there is any that Jesus does not want his followers to be, it is hypocrites. God doesn't want us to be hypocrites. So why are we? Jesus set the example in this matter. When he saw Zacchaeus, he wanted to help him. This man had been cheating and defrauding the public. Jesus could have said, I know who you are. Zacchaeus, you are one of those terrible tax collectors. He could have said that, but he didn't. You have earned the bad reputation that is yours. Come down out of that tree. Fall on your knees before me and confess your sins publicly. If you get your life straightened out, you might be good enough to come and join my followers. Instead of saying all of that, Jesus said, instead of standing in judgment on this fallen man, Jesus established a relationship of love by the tone of his voice and the action that followed. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, I love you very much. In the light of God's love, Zacchaeus became keenly aware of the fault in his life. Praise be to God. A proposal. In verse 5, Jesus said, hypocrites, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your brother's eye. Jesus made a proposal. We have our hands full in correcting the problem in our own lives without being censorious in our judgment toward others. We could spend our time quite constructively if we concentrate on our own faults, leaving the faults of others to the goodness and grace of God. Amen. Jesus' proposal is quite difficult to carry out. We naturally find ourselves asking how we can execute this proposal and what we can do about the temptation to be censorious toward others. First of all, we should recognize censoriousness as sin. It is a sin just as stealing or lying or immorality is a sin. In God's eyes, being critical and hurtful toward others is serious sin. Second, we should confess our tendency to judge as a sin. Only through confession will we ever rid our lives of the deadly sin of censoriousness. Third, we must quit doing it. It is not enough to own up to the sin and ask God to forgive us. We must claim the grace of God that will enable us to quit being censorious. Three good filters through which we should pass every word that comes from our mouth. Number one, we must say, is it true? Number two, is it necessary? And number three, is it kind? Amen. Think about that now. And my conclusion is, one day, while walking in Florence, Italy, Michelangelo came across a piece of discarded marble. He had it brought to his studio. Someone else had started to work on the marble, but had cast it aside as useless. Michelangelo said, "There is an angel imprisoned in this piece of marble, and it is my task to bring out." This is exactly what our business is. We are to see the good in people, and by the grace of God, bring it to the surface. Too many people are willing to throw others aside as human rejects. May God grant that we will become people who release the angels imprisoned in the twisted forms of humanity. May God save us from joining the ranks of those who stand idly by and point out the flaws and faults in others. Amen. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me this evening. To God be the glory. At this time, I just want to say that if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to do so, now is the time. All you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, was risen from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And it doesn't stop there. Right now you can, because our church doors are not open as of yet, you can go on Facebook, YouTube, wherever they are preaching the word of God. And you can ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen. To continue your walk with Christ. Praise be to God. At this time, I will give the benediction. Amen. It says in Jude 24 and 25. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time, and in the present and beyond all time. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I just want to say I am your host, Evangelist Hilda, and you have been listening to Pray One for Another. And we come every Tuesday through Fridays where we pray, our sweet hour of prayer. Amen. Where we pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Friday. And at 7 p.m., we bring a word on Friday, and I hope and pray that you enjoyed this word this evening in the censoriousness of sin. So God bless you, and tune in tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. When our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins will be here to bring us a mighty word from God at 10:15. And at following the Apostle Mother Wiggins will be our poetry by Barbara Amore, and following the poetry will be Talk in the Sanctuary with Pastor Stephen and Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry down in Arizona. So at this time, I will play God is Sustaining Me by the Wiggy Tones as we come to a close of this part of our program for this evening. Amen. To God be the glory. And if you have to go out, please wear your mask, stay safe, in Jesus' name, until we meet again tomorrow. Amen. Praise God. Good night, everyone. We love you. We pray. We thank you. And we continue praying for one another. Shalom.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all. Let's assemble. We're going to have church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God
is
sustaining me.
Don't you know God?
Jesus,
it's the same in me.
when I'm in trouble, when I'm sick.
Jesus,
you see, he touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel a mile of me. Yeah.
And no matter
what the time, his blood, his blood
always brings me.
Somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustain.
Sometimes you gotta call him.
Jesus,
you gotta call on him.
Sustaining me.
My Lord.
Sustains me
late in the midnight hour.
Sustaining me
when I can't sleep at night.
Sustains me
trouble.
God is sustaining
trouble on the mind.
Jesus sustains me.
Sometimes your friends.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
Pray One for
You gotta take it. Say you provide the spirit.